do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure
enough. Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
But who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Week 2 from isolation and quarantine, hiding in our hidden bunkers.
Yep.
Right. Surviving,
hey,
surviving as we can.
That's right. At least we're not in our parents' basements. We're in our own basements.
That is true.
So how you guys doing? How are you surviving quarantine?
Surviving.
Staying healthy, at least.
Yeah, there's that.
Hey, at least this is one of the few forms of entertainment that should not have any kind of hiatus at all from this.
Unless you start running out of things to talk about.
Yeah, there's that, because we're...
It's a slow news week, let me tell you.
Well, due to, this is brought up to we're having to make changes on Mighty Marvel Geeks, you know, with certain segments of our show. So,
that's because, like you said, if we run out of stuff to talk about, there's a lot of stuff's been shut down. All the stuff that we talk about usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Exactly.
So that'll actually be what we're talking about a little later today, anyway.
because a lot of shows they're all on hold, but their next seasons, they're not saying they're canceled, they're not saying they're renewed, they're just not sure.
Yeah.
And they're running out of episodes.
Yeah.
That are already recorded. So
I think
it'll be like a writer strike sort of situation where we'll have a big gap.
Yeah. Well, that's like the CW shows that we watch. I think between all of the shows, there's, six shows or so that are really Geek Central shows on CW, and there's about three or four episodes left total between all of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They said they're bumping Stargirl up by a week to start it early, and then they had another, there's supposed to be a summer replacement, In the Dark or something like that, that they're bumping up to, next week it's coming.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of like all of the movies they're releasing, on demand and digitally because, they got to do something.
Yeah. I'm wondering
I'm now looking at all the shows that I have on that I bought the complete seasons of. And now I can actually justify going back and watching all of Renegade.
Oh, jeez.
Nice. Well, the cool thing is you don't have to put them in. They're all on Tubi.
But I have them all.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the principle of the matter.
Yeah.
But I got all of
I can force him to watch them elsewhere if he's got them.
and we got Equalizer.
Yeah.
All Equalizer. Now, that'd be a fun one to watch. It's very 80s.
Yeah.
Hey,
at least the weather's improving temperature-wise. I know we've had a bunch of rain here the past couple days, but today the temperature's in the 70s already.
Yeah, right. Sunny and 70. I had to run down to the gas station to pick up a couple odds and ends real quick this morning, and it was 70 degrees out.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Crazy. And the cool thing is about this whole lockdown thing, at least in Ohio, they encourage you to go out and take a walk, go out to the park, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect day for that.
As long as you're staying away from people, you can still go outside. You don't have to stay in your house.
No.
If you've got a yard, a backyard, a front yard, there's nothing wrong with going outside, sitting on your front lawn or whatever, and just reading outside instead of inside. Stay out there. If you can stay near your house and then the sidewalk is at least 6 feet away,
right?
Don't worry about it. People can walk by and there's no problem.
And actually, something that I noticed, because I know my brother from another mother is doing this, there's a lot of people, for those of you who wanted to pick up a martial art, there are a lot of people out there that are teaching just basic forms for you to do, and that's something you can do either in the comfort of your home or in your backyard.
Yeah, you can do those outside.
You could do that anywhere.
What's even better, to go with that, stuff, there's plenty of even YouTube videos on how to do certain different katas, which is basically just a nice... It's equivalent of a dance routine, but...
What, don't say...
Wait.
No, no, no.
Let me finish. Let me finish. It is the martial arts equivalent of a dance routine, but if you're not paying attention, you actually do learn something from this. It is actually the moves. You learn the basic moves on how to do it by doing this. I was not going to say it's just a straight dance. I know better. Kylan.
That's true.
Dance routines have specific moves.
That's true.
Katas have specific moves. We're not saying you do it to music.
Well, although, unless you're doing capoeira.
If you start doing it really quickly, it could
capoeira?
Be
capoeira? Doesn't Tai Chi usually have music running in the background of some sort? They're not doing it to the beat, but...
And Tai Chi often has that new agey Asian stuff going on.
Not where I went to do. Although, now, my kung fu teacher used to call it the Dance of Death, so
there you go. Dance of Death.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just my inner Klingon came out. It was like...
It's like calling action figures dolls. It just kind of there's a reaction to it.
Well, actually, Klingon reminds me. We actually sat down and watched, it's been years since I've seen it. We watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea on Disney Plus yesterday. I didn't realize there's a Star Trek connection to that. Star Trek VI, Kirk is sent to the penal colony on Ruripente, the white or the aliens' graveyard. Remember? The slave mining colony in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, where he sees that they're loading up the nitrates and stuff into the boat. I don't remember the exact name, but it was almost identical to Ruripente. And it's called the White Man's Graveyard. What was it?
It was the same.
Yeah, it wasn't Ruripente. It was like Puridente or something like that. But it was actually... That's where they got the name for Star Trek VI.
Oh, there you go.
Well, it's, I was watching an episode from season 6 of Supernatural. And I was looking, and they were coming out of a building. And that building was the parking lot. It was the same area that they used for the TV show. It was like the back parking lot of Jump Street Chapel from 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
It's down in Vancouver.
All those shows are filmed up there. So.
Yeah, if you watch any of the CW shows especially, you'll see the same places used over and over and over again. That one sanitarium hospital has been used since like the mid-90s on every show they've ever made.
Yeah, it's a hospital, it's a sanitarium, it's a haunted location, it's a school.
Yeah, I think they even used it in Buffy the Vampire Slayer at some point.
Probably.
So, well, that's like in Smallville and Arrow, the Queen Mansion is the Luther Mansion. They film it from a different direction. It's the exact same building.
Sure is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder whose house
it is. But 20,000 Leagues is a good movie to watch, though. Like, that's got it. Seriously, not the greatest effects once you see that giant squid, but it's kind of an epic fight.
Mm-hmm. Considering it was all physical, it still holds up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the thing with a lot of these old movies that you can catch now on Disney Plus. Like, some of these practical effects are actually pretty amazing when you watch them.
Well, you got to think, with 20,000 Leagues, that was made, 54, you said? It was made in 1954. That was a phenomenal puppet for 1954.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And watching that, it's like, the more I watch stuff like that, it's like, dude, Kirk Douglas and Michael Douglas could have been twins 20 years apart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Son definitely looked like father, for sure.
So.
And it's one of those things, like, when you watch that, you know, like, just try not to compare it to what we do now. But if you just think about what somebody in 1954 was watching at that point.
That would have been amazing.
That would have been mind-blowing, you know? It's sort of... it's one of those things. In a certain level, it's better than what we see looking at some of the old Doctor Who stuff. But you also have to understand that the BBC didn't really have that big of a budget.
Yeah, there was no budget for TV back in the day. I mean, the movie didn't have that big either. But
20 monsters, Here's $50, some packing tape, and some bubble wrap. Give us monsters. Like, that's all there was to it.
Well, with this, like Vicky was saying, imagine seeing 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea for the first time on the big screen.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
And in the old one-screen theaters, like what we have at the Highland Theater here, Highland Square Cinema, that you think the IMAX screens are huge? Those things were ginormous.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I remember being a kid, and I remember the movie screens. Like, well, there was no such thing as a multiplex back in the 70s.
You're lucky if you got four in a building.
Right. Yeah, those things were huge. You know, they were. So, and to see something like that and for it to mimic reality, you know, nobody was doing anything like that outside of Disney, which is true even now. Nobody's doing what Disney's doing. So,
and really, if you look back at it, because it's – no one can actually – you really can't argue that this was a steampunk movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is there one before this, really, that you could call a steampunk movie? 1954. Because sci-fi before that was a lot of just flying saucers and aliens attacking and stuff.
I would say anything that was – any movie that was either an H.G. Wells story or a Jules Verne story – anything that was any type of cinematic interpretation would be considered steampunk because and actually technically Frankenstein.
Yeah, the early Frankensteins. That's Frankenstein is steampunk.
Yeah, Frankenstein is the first sci-fi novel, and
it had gadgets before those gadgets existed.
Exactly. So Frankenstein, you know, it depends on what predated.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm also looking at – you're also looking at the tech that you see in it because this is visually steampunk. If you look at the Nautilus, the way they did it with the steel or the iron and the rivets and stuff, that looks – it feels like steampunk. Frankenstein felt like sci-fi and stuff, but it didn't have the steampunk feel, if you know what I mean.
Well, it didn't have the aesthetic that people think of it as now, but it had the feel.
Yeah, it's sort of – steampunk was one of those things like that, well, like they say a lot – you don't know what it is, but you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
And you know, now what we know, so 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea fits more of what we consider to be more that modern interpretation of steampunk.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change anything from take away the fact that Frankenstein is steampunk. Too, so.
Well, you were saying H.G. Wells and Jules Verne. H.G. Wells, the first time they made any movies about any of his stuff was 1960 with Time Machine. And Jules Verne, I'm looking up right now. It should be right here.
Well, because 20,000 Leagues was Jules Verne.
Right. Yeah. But I was wondering if there's anything earlier than that.
I've got 1902, but I can't – won't pop up.
Things to come.
Okay, well, Vicky actually Googled steampunk movies, and it's not popping up on hers yet, but there's something from 1902.
Trip to the Moon.
Trip to the Moon in 1902, I guess, is considered a steampunk movie.
Yeah.
So I have to see it and see what it's like. But I know just...
I mean, it's the one that you see the famous shots of with the moon getting a rocket in its eye.
Okay, yeah.
Moon.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's Metropolis in the 20s.
Yeah. Right, yeah, Metropolis is in that family as well. Which I suggest if you have an opportunity to see it, and if you can... watch the one that has the Queen soundtrack to it.
Well, yeah, that's okay. It's not the original, but
yeah, it's not the original. But I like the one with the Queen soundtrack.
Of course, you do.
So,
give me just a second because there's actually I found out about an app and a website that I just found out about called Just Watch. If you put in anything that's been made, it'll tell you where you can stream it.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice. Which is awesome. So
it's like,
Let's see, Metropolis, 1927. You can stream it for free with ads on Roku, Hoopla. What is that one? Yeah, there's a couple of them that have it. Canopy, all the library apps have it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
and the Roku channel has it too.
Yeah.
So the Fandor, what's this one? The Criterion channel has it too. So
honestly, you can probably find it on YouTube in its entirety.
Yeah, this works. It's out. You're way outside of copyright for that one.
Yeah.
And a lot of your cheaper movie channels that just play really old stuff because it's free. There's probably on those.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's still plenty of stuff to do out here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most of it involves just sitting in front of your computer or television, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we did take advantage of the 30-day free trial for CBS All Access.
We did that this week too.
So because you know Kylan wants all his Star Trek crap, and I get all my Twilight Zone. So I caught up yesterday. I binged the few episodes of the new one that I hadn't seen yet, which was like four of them.
I forgot those were on there.
And the cool thing is, though, watch all of the season just regular as it showed, or you can watch the episodes in black and white.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
They have the entire season in black and white. And I'd say about a third of them are classic stories that'll look familiar if you know the Twilight Zone originals. Mm-hmm. But other ones are original stories. So there's a good mix between them. I just like all the Twilight Zone stuff anyway, so yeah. It was worth watching, I think.
Actually, I did find something we may have to rent this week,
babe.
Color Out of Space is on all the streaming now, too. The one with Nick Cage from January. It's like $4.
Nick Cage Lovecraft horror movie.
Yeah. From everything I heard, the people that actually went and saw it, the critics thought, you'd just throw that out anyway, but Lovecraft fans actually liked it a lot. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, check it out. I've seen the trailer. It's basically, well, I don't know how comfortable some people would be seeing it right now, because essentially it's a airborne virus that makes everyone go crazy.
Yeah.
Basically something falling from space, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changes everything, the color of everything. People don't realize they're kind of, it's psychotropic. It's a lot of like mind effing kind of stuff.
Well, I've read the original story, so it'd be cool to see their version of it. And I guess from everything I saw, Nick Cage, this is the strangest and craziest and most out there character he's ever done.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
That is.
Because in the last 10 years, he's not been extremely picky about what he's done. He's just wanted to be weird.
Right.
He wants to challenge himself,
I liked his Ghost Rider. I did, so... I'm probably one of three people that did, but
he was good in Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
he was Hit Girl's dad. I mean,
that's right. You know, yeah,
he wasn't crazy in that. He was fairly level, which was surprising.
Right.
Yeah. If you like your Nick Cage on the extreme crazy side, that's what you're going for.
Yep. So, that and did you get a chance to watch Jay and Silent Bob yet, Kylan? It's on Amazon Prime for free.
Oh, we haven't watched it yet.
No,
Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Not had a chance to yet.
Maybe this afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that next week or something. Not a whole show, but just see what you thought. Mm-hmm. Also, I know Kylan...
A lot of kind of like we're catching up on shows we know we've wanted to watch, and then we haven't been checking... We haven't looked at Amazon Prime at all
over
the past week or so, because we've been stuck on catching up on some Hulu stuff and some Disney Plus.
Right.
And that, well, so...
One that somehow slipped by me, I didn't realize, was... are you a fan of the old Spencer for Hire TV show or the books, Kylan?
Oh, yes. It seems like... crappy... movie.
Yeah, that new Spencer movie, it looked interesting. I thought I was going to check it out just to see what it's like.
People who are fans of the actual Spencer books hate it.
Really? See?
Because they had it on UC Madero. Remember? They
that's right. Yeah, see, I'm...
It's not like the show. It's not like the books. And most people who know those going into this movie don't like it. Oh. If you go into it just as a buddy cop movie, you might like it.
Okay.
I'm just warning you, this is based on... Not critic reviews, but people I've heard from.
Okay,
right. Because I liked the TV show. I loved A Man Called Hawk.
Uh-huh.
And the books. So okay, I'm
wondering: is there any way that you can top Avery Brooks as Hawk?
No.
No, and they didn't really try.
No. And I'd be like, it even like Avery Brooks' version of Hawk is different from the way Hawk is in the books, but because he was so iconic in the way he portrayed that character, I don't know. Yeah. Dude set a high bar, you know. And much respect to Ernie Hudson, because he played Hawk. I believe Andy had some Spencer movies, but they featured an older Spencer and an older Hawk. Much respect to them, but yeah, no, he's no Avery Brooks.
Yeah.
So,
well, and in this version, Winston Duke plays Hawk.
Yeah.
And I mean, I loved him in Black Panther. I'm not sure he's taken the place of kind of anyone. But
yeah. Well, we did see a couple of new things though. And I don't know how it slipped by me, and this was probably the best thing I've seen since all this started. Was Chef. Have you guys seen that movie with Jon Favreau and John Leguizamo?
You watched his show that came out after.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched
it. Oh, dude, you should watch. The movie was awesome.
Okay.
I'm not big on food shows and stuff, but...
It was fun. It was a good movie.
Yeah. So, and then all the cooking they do on it is actual food that they're actually cooking and you could eat afterwards. Because usually, on if you see them cooking something on a TV set or a movie set, you don't want to eat it.
No.
No.
Well, a lot of times you can't. It's cold.
Yeah. So.
Well, or they're not using the right ingredients because they have to make it look good, not taste good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For movies, yeah.
That's what inspired Favreau's show, though, because of all the real recipes he was having to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And find out about.
So it's sort of like some people actually go through fight training or driving that he actually
learned. Yeah, like when you have to learn how to learn a skill to do a movie, he actually learned how to cook for this movie.
There you go.
It was based on the guy that's his co-host now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and we're about a third of the way through the show. We just got past the Skywalker Ranch episode.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the other one we watched this week was that
The other one we finally got a chance to see was Knives Out. I know you guys saw it, and you were definitely right. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's so worth it.
And the cool thing, it was awesome because the mystery, they did tell you at the very beginning exactly what happened. But it didn't matter because that's not the mystery you're trying to solve.
Right.
No.
That was an awesome twist at the end where they show you a different mystery.
That was that was a fun old school murder mystery.
It was an unexpected good movie.
It really was, and I think hopefully once we get back to a new normal, wherever that may be, but they want to bring the character back.
Yeah,
for another the
detective,
movie.
They want him back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I loved it. No, the whole last scene with the knife, I about died. I'm like, oh my god, I could not stop laughing at that
and
scene.
And the funny thing is, if you look at the Knives Out Twitter account, they've been doing viral messaging during this. Like they actually about a week and a half ago, they posted a clip from the scene where the detective tells everyone to stay in the house and they can't leave. And then they also posted a Knives Out social distancing edition poster where it has Daniel Craig and Chris Evans and the one who plays the caretaker. It has the three of them standing as they were in the main poster, but they're about 6 feet apart now in the poster. So the account's been doing some cute stuff for viral marketing to let people know about it.
The cool thing is I actually went to IMDb afterwards to see some of the trivia and stuff about this, and they totally foreshadowed that knife thing earlier in the movie because the old guy who ends up dying talks about how his grandson is so out of touch that he wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a real knife and a fake knife.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, they give you all the answers in the movie.
Yeah.
Which makes
they
me,
really don't realize it till the end. So,
which
yeah,
makes me
well
wonder
done.
If all those knives that was on display were fake.
Or yeah,
was
exactly.
Just that one that was not.
Right.
You know, they were all were real, just the one was fake.
Also, I guess there was a lot of stuff that was tweaked just a little because they kept trying to give him an R rating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the one had to tweak some of the language because he wanted a PG-13, so he had to drop a lot of language stuff that was in there, which wasn't needed for this. But
I guess Evans only took the role so he could keep cursing.
Right.
Yeah. He's had so many roles recently that he couldn't swear at all.
Exactly. Language.
So, but that and also, I guess there was a whole lot of CG that you don't even notice in the movie. It's little things here and there. Like, I guess the old guy's portrait that is there multiple times in the movie, that was a green screen the entire movie because the actual painting wasn't done until they were almost done filming.
Mm-hmm.
And the very last part, where she's holding the cup that says "My House," the shot before that you see her, you could also see it. They had to digitally move her finger to cover it, so you only saw it in that last shot.
Ah, mm-hmm. Right.
It's great when you read some of the stuff like that in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how much he put into it to make this just right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm not big on murder mystery ones, but this one was really, really well done.
Yeah. Sure.
So, other than what we've been watching, has there been anything going on out in the world other than people hiding?
There's a little bit of geek news. One of the things that a lot of people may have missed is the news that Netflix is working with Ryan Reynolds to bring us a live-action version of Dragon's Lair.
I heard about that.
Ryan Reynolds is set to produce and act in the new movie adaptation. And for those who may be unaware in the gaming world, Dragon's Lair first came out in 1983. And the reason it was different was because it used pre-rendered animation instead of the real-time pixel art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in case you didn't know, the animation was actually provided by Don Bluth.
Yes.
Who did All Dogs Go to Heaven and American Tail and Anastasia.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, they said this was actually all done on video disc in the machine. So that as you made the right choices, it would skip to the next track on the where you needed to on the disc. That's the only way they were able to actually do it.
It was kind of like a version of Choose Your Own Adventure. Because they had all this preset stuff that they had to skip back and forth to.
Also, I spent a lot of quarters in this game. And
so, did you ever make it past three decisions?
What you would do, like... Right, sometimes, well, just before you get to where you have to make a choice, you will see, like, let's say if you have a left door and a right door. The left door would, like, flash very quick, so that's one that you needed to choose. Mm-hmm. It will tell you the right choice to make, but you had to be quick enough, because if you did it too early or did it too late...
You die.
Then you at the one where...
Yeah, you know, it was all about timing.
Yeah.
It's all about
it is notoriously probably the hardest arcade video game, probably of all time, to actually get through it if you didn't have it memorized.
Yeah,
right.
To actually make it through to the end, definitely.
Which and if you go on YouTube, they do have the ending animation. I did get the privilege of, I call it a privilege, but of watching somebody actually finish it. And my 12, 13, 14-year-old heart, yeah, you need to see it. That's all I got to say.
Well, I believe on YouTube you can actually watch the entire game with all the choices made correctly.
Yeah. That and Space Ace, which was a follow-up, it was sci-fi, but yeah.
So basically, the movie script is being done by the Lego Movie and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark collaborators, Dan and Kevin Hageman. And Don Bluth himself, who has actually been trying to get a movie version of this for a long time, will reportedly co-produce.
Good.
So at least you've got the in on the animation. And it'll be interesting to see how close the live action looks to the animation.
Mm-hmm.
You can really already see Ryan Reynolds as Dirk the Daring in that outfit and everything. I mean, come on. You can see him like that. Mm-hmm. another interesting little bit that I found, like I said, it was a light news week. So, Meghan Markle is getting back into Hollywood. Big surprise.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that she's leaving the royal family, we knew this was happening.
Right.
So Disney Plus announced this week, it's putting out a variety of nature documentaries, not surprisingly, including a new Disney nature film called Elephant, and it will feature Meghan Markle narrating as the voice of the elephant. At the end of April, she gives up her title of Duchess of Sussex, so this will actually be one of the last times she can officially use the title.
Okay.
But Elephant basically follows an African elephant and her son who live in the wilds of the Kalahari Desert, and within a herd facing predators and dwindling resources and the usual drama that Disney has in their documentaries and, you know, any nature documentary you've ever seen. The Disney Conservation Fund will actually support an organization called Elephants Without Borders ahead of the release of this documentary, though. So that's kind of a cool thing that they're doing.
Very cool.
And it'll be out on Disney Plus on April 3rd, okay, along with a documentary about dolphins that Natalie Portman is narrating.
Wow.
So, FYI, Disney documentary is coming your way.
Yeah, well, Disney's got a lot of stuff, because isn't that the same week they're dropping Onward on Disney Plus also?
Yep.
They're just putting everything out all at once.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone will blow through it within a day.
True.
And the last is perhaps the most important bit of news for the geeks out there regarding comic distribution. We have been informed all over the internet and the blogs we look at that Diamond Comic Distributors, which if you don't know by now, you should. That is the largest and pretty much exclusive distributor of like every comic to the direct market in this country, has decided to stop shipping new products beginning this week in the U.S. and the U.K. Diamond has asked printers to not send them any more new products And obviously this is because of the slowdown in the economy in general. People are buying less, shops are closing down temporarily or unfortunately in some cases permanently. And it will remain in effect until further notice. They have not given a stop date on this. Diamond will continue to ship out products already in its warehouse for the time being. However, they typically don't keep a large stockpile of new comics.
Mm-hmm.
So really, they're going to run out fast.
Yeah.
You know, you might be getting some new issues this week still, but beyond that, it's going to be kind of doubtful.
Yeah. Well, I was John over at Kenmore told me sent out the email that this past week's comics, that's it. There's nothing else coming in. Diamond's not sending any more to him for this. So this week coming up, as you're hearing this today, today's comics did not arrive.
Right. Yeah. So basically, check with your local comic shops because they may have nothing new for you. But now would be the time to pick up some trades, pick up some graphic novels, look up some stuff, and call your comic shops to see if they have them, because they're still trying to survive in this. They're a small independent business. I know the one we go to, JC's in Cuyahoga Falls, he is keeping open, but only for restricted hours. He's providing inside service. He's having people call ahead, pay ahead, and then he's basically just dropping it off to you at your car, wearing gloves, the whole nine yards. So if you've got some old things to catch up on, you know, and you've still got a bit of money coming in and you can do this, you should be supporting your local place to make sure they stay open afterwards, because they're going to have a tough time through this.
See, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that Kenmore over there, he's been there since like 83 or 84. And the comic boom in the early 90s gave him enough that he actually bought the building. And he's got the park and the building next to that, too. So he doesn't have to worry about rent or anything. So he was able to actually, yesterday, as we record on Sunday, Saturday was his last day open until this clears off.
Right.
Right.
But it gives him a chance to clean from one end of the shop to the other.
Spring cleaning, everybody.
Thing too, that you know, shops closing isn't necessarily always a bad thing because they're getting sanitized right now.
Right.
But I did see the other thing is, a lot of people get their comics digitally. Don't expect any new ones there either. For now, Dark Horse at least has confirmed, and the other ones have not yet confirmed. But they've confirmed that there's going to be no new releases on digital because if you think about it, it's not that they don't want the sales or that they think it's not important. They can't let digital issues get ahead of print issues. Like, everything still has to match up.
Right.
So if you are not getting new print, you're also not going to be getting new digital. So this is also the time to go back and look at your, you know, DC Universe or Marvel apps and get all the old comics you haven't read.
Right.
Well, also, if you don't want DC or Marvel Unlimited, DC Universe, but also Comixology has their Comixology. I don't know if it's called Unlimited or whatever it is, but it's basically everything that's not DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
Right.
Or just go to the publisher's website, whether it's Dark Horse, Image, Valiant. They have a lot of stuff available for download, and a lot of it's free right now. We mentioned this last week, but it's still free. There's still a lot of stuff that's free via the website. And there's always your independent stuff, like your small-time comic creators. They're still doing web comics. They're still doing all kinds of stuff. You know, and if you can throw them a few dollars, if they've got Patreons or the tip jars that we're seeing with the musicians and stuff, if you can throw them a few dollars, they'd appreciate it now. So just go and look for your favorites out there, and you're sure to find them.
Well, going along with this in the realm of gaming, I guess the Alliance Gaming is also shut down. I think they may be partners with Diamond, so Alliance is not shipping games out either.
Yeah, Diamond owns them in part.
Yeah. So they're also shut down, so there's no new tabletop. And tabletop gaming right now and role-playing games are getting a surge because families are sitting around with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's nothing new coming from them either.
But, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of games out there, and I bet you haven't played all. So.
Right.
Well, one thing I did find, actually I got this from our buddy Rob Turk. He was showing off some games on, if you watch his YouTube channel, Gannerstitch, about three times a week, has been doing a half hour relating to what's going on from Gannerstitch the Goblin.
Yep.
Which is awesome. But Drive-Thru RPG right now has put a lot, the bigger game publishers have put a lot of their stuff up for free PDF downloads of their role-playing games and things. And a lot of the smaller independents are putting it as a pay what you want. You can go from zero or whatever you can afford to give them. So you can actually get new games every day if you want from Drive-Thru RPG. And there's thousands of games on there.
And this is the sense of, like, a lot of these are in book form. All you need is a pencil and paper, maybe some dice, maybe a set of standard deck cards. Mm-hmm. You don't need a lot of special tools for this. If you want to print it out, obviously you need a printer. But aside from that, if you enjoy games anyway, you're going to have dice. You can even raid your other board games and get some dice.
Right.
And get the make up your own little maps and tabletop things. Have your kids draw stuff to play games on.
Right.
Well, I know Robert, with his first couple of games, suggested raiding all your other games, because it was whatever dice you have, it doesn't matter what the dice are, you just have to have dice to roll.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what size, what shape, anything else.
And not to play favorites, but we can recommend Rob's games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His games are great. The books he's done are great for games. And, of course, we don't want to forget Andy, all the Mother Oith games.
Yes.
A lot of that stuff is pen and paper kind of stuff, like it's based on the Savage World system.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get his books by download or ordering them through his site or through Amazon and have them delivered in a few days.
Right.
And you can play that with pen and paper.
Exactly. So.
Well, talking to Andy, he's got that new Kickstarter.
Yeah, Andy, I guess, has a new Kickstarter going, too. For,
he does!
Pins and vinyl stickers, I think?
He does, yeah. It's I think it's called Where My Peeps At. And he's already passed his goal because he only put up $100 for his goal.
Yeah.
So he wanted to make sure he can get people all these stickers. There's a couple different sizes of pins. I think there's a 1-inch and a 2-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, if you know Andy, you know his little creatures. If you've ever been to Odd Mall, it's all the peeps that he has people on the scavenger hunt for around Odd Mall.
Exactly.
The piece of paper you get with all of those creatures on it. So he's doing pins, and I think for as low as like $5 or $10, you can pledge and get a sticker or a button or whatever. So,
Yeah, the stickers are like $3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So there you go.
So, but other than that, I know you keep track on this online a lot more than, I do sometimes, Dawn. How's Charlie doing with Stray Dog?
Charlie's doing reasonably okay, but I do believe that he decided to, for the time being, put the library location on hold. I think he's focusing on Cafe 388. But the good thing is you can order Stray Dog via DoorDash or Uber Eats. And right now, a lot of those have free delivery. So you're not paying extra.
Well, which is awesome, because we actually got Chipotle delivered for free the other day.
Right. So you can do this with Charlie. You can either Stray Dog or Cafe 388. I noticed on the Cafe 388 Facebook page, he has posted the full menu that's available. So if you go to that page, which I think has links from the Stray Dog page anyway, but you can get all the – you can see what kind of dogs he has, and he's kind of offering everything he usually has. And then if you just log into Uber Eats, the menu's there as well. So you can see the dogs. You can see the salads, the sandwiches, the cookies. He's even offering the various coffees and stuff if you need something to drink. So and I think – from what I saw on Uber Eats, it takes approximately 30 minutes for delivery. So, you know, this is great for this for this week if you're working from home, as we all are. And think about it around 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning and place your order and you'll have it by lunch or for dinner, whatever you want. but yeah, so do this if you're not in Akron and if you can't support Charlie like we're trying to. Look up your local places. Look up Uber Eats. You can put in local places and see if they're there. And like I said, the majority of places now are offering free delivery. And quite honestly, local is better than franchises. So
yeah.
Look for what you can.
Well, that and also, other than just going to the Uber Eats and all those things, you can actually usually go to the website or the Facebook page from your local restaurant, and they'll tell you how they can deliver it.
Right.
So then you go through directly to it.
Are doing curbside service. Like if you feel like you really need to go out and for a bit of a drive, you know, as some people are, if you're not going to be in a crowd of people and that kind of thing, you need to have a few minutes, you can get curbside service. I know there's a place we go to, a Euro place that's near downtown Akron here, that they have curbside service as well. The other thing, actually pay attention to Charlie's postings on Facebook, because I know the other day he was actually giving out free Stray Dog mustard to the first 10 orders.
Right.
So pay attention and you can get some free mustard out of this deal too.
And also, if you find Stray Dog on the internet and stuff, he can actually, you can mail order any of his sauces. He's got like 10 different sauces between mustards and ketchups and barbecue sauces and all kinds of things and other products that are available that you can actually mail order from him.
That's true. Anywhere you are, you can get Stray Dog goodness.
Exactly. And I believe he can actually send the pickles also.
That's right, because everyone needs Charlie's pickles in their mouth.
There you go.
So he may not be able to mail order you a hot dog, but he can still send you the mustard and a pickle.
That's right. Any enjoyment you can get.
That's right. So, but all the information, if you want to find Stray Dog Akron, like I said, you can Google it, Stray Dog Akron. It'll come up for, you'll find him, Charlie Murphy. Also, you can go to www.geekwatch1.com, and all the information's on there.
And I try to put a link in our show notes as well. So we're trying to get you there however we can.
That's right. So other than that, what have you guys, last week, and we've talked already on here a lot about what we've been watching, but that's not the only thing we're doing. Since comics are not coming out, new comics, what are you guys doing to fill that gap?
I've been catching up on some old ones. not necessarily old, but ones that have been sitting around for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I read the Avengers Endgame prelude, the trade, and it's for a fan of the movie. If you remember Infinity War, it's basically the comic version of the end of Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously as a prelude, it's supposed to lead you up into Endgame. So it's the comic version, and it's kind of interesting to see how they play some of these moments and what they decide to include in the comics. And let me tell you, even in the comic version, seeing Thor come down with the lightning in Wakanda, still impressive.
I still think my favorite visual of him doing that is from Ragnarok when he's on the bridge.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That is a great visual too. The other cool thing about this prelude trade, it includes not only this stuff leading up to Endgame, it also includes number one of the old Infinity Gauntlet, which was George Perez drawn. And basically the inspiration for Infinity War and Endgame. Mm-hmm. It's the issue of the comic that has Thanos' snap in it. It gives you the story of Thanos as originally written, which was he was doing this to impress who he thought was his girlfriend, which was Lady Death, because she wanted half the universe gone so that she could fill her own coffers of death with dead people. And so it gives you that leading to the snap. And then interestingly, it'll show you who disappeared versus the movie, because it's actually quite different. The warning that we have in the movie with Bruce Banner falling into Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum, it's not in the comics, it's Silver Surfer. And of course, we know they didn't have the rights to Silver Surfer and it wasn't going to go that way anyway. So seeing the story with Doctor Strange and Silver Surfer is different enough.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing what Thanos goes through and how he finally ultimately comes to decide to do the snap, then seeing which Avengers actually disappear, that some of them are not even ones that are in the MCU at this point.
Right.
There's a few people that disappear. You're like, wait, I haven't even seen them on screen. So you get that little element. There's also an issue because it's a trade, so they have to fill up space. There's also an issue from Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it's number 19, which was basically Thanos attempting to invade and take over Earth again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Guardians coming up against him using some new and contingent members. Captain Marvel's in the issue, The Thing, Agent Venom. And this is the last issue of Guardians of the Galaxy that Brian Michael Bendis worked on. So it's a big story, big art. It's really pretty impressive. So I was actually happy to kind of go, because I honestly thought it was just going to be everything leading up to the movie.
Right.
So I was kind of impressed that you got the old school stuff and then this new battle with Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's one of the things I've read recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know I just started on the DC Universe app. I just started Batman Long Halloween. I've heard about it. It's a classic. I never got a chance to, so I'm one issue in, and it's interesting because it's got a totally different look to it and feel from anything I've read from Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So once I finish it up, I'll have to let you guys know what I thought of it.
Cool.
So well, what you got, Kyle?
All right, so Wolverine is starting to get kind of hot again, or at least he was before this thing happened. Something that I would suggest, well, actually two series I would suggest. The first one would be Weapon X, which was, this was the, from 1995. And it basically, it chronicles Wolverine's story of him becoming, I guess, being trained by, being trained by Department H, which was Canada's mutant intelligence training program. And that's where Weapon X comes from. Great story. That's something I suggest. Also, treat yourself to the Wolverine series. This is something that I've always wanted to read completely, and now I have an opportunity to do it. It was a series that ran from 1988 to 2003.
That's a lot of comics you're going to be reading.
That's a lot. this is kind of outside of the X universe. It's when Wolverine is hanging out in Madripoor.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, you got a little bit of the whole spy thing going on, mm-hmm. and you got the whole, he has this whole shadowy past of what's real, what's not, and, you know, why is a hand always after him? So, you know, it's a fun series, and it's probably the reason why Wolverine became so iconic, you know, because you kind of get to see him outside of that X-Men lens, mm-hmm. you know. So that's something I would suggest. Now, if you're looking for something to read, that'd be really good.
Yeah, another outside of the big two, one of the things I recently finished was Volume 2 of Lady Killer. This is a comic from Dark Horse. And if you like kind of, well, it's not murder mystery. What? Just murder. there's no mystery. It's just murder. It's set in the late 50s, early 60s with this prim and proper housewife who just happens to be a hired killer on the side, but her family doesn't need to know that. and she kind of likes the more direct contact forms of killing. She's not so much into guns. She prefers knives and hatchets and hammers and, you know, stuff like that. So in the first volume, she's working for an agency and they're giving her these people to kill and she's got someone to do cleanup. So, you know, she just has to worry about the blood splatter on her dress. And in the second volume, at the end of the first volume, she leaves the agency. It's not a big spoiler. Don't worry about it. You see it coming. Second volume, she's kind of trying to do this on her own. And it's a little more difficult when she has to do the cleanup. There's hacksaws involved, but then blades break, and you never know what's going to happen. She uses an electric knife at one point. It's quite ingenious. But yes, there's a lot of blood throughout this comic. But quite honestly, it's a really good story. They do a good job with it. I don't know if there's going to be a volume 3. I'm hoping there is, because I'm pretty sure the comic is still out there.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Lady Killer.
Now, does she make more money going independent than when she was working with the agency?
Well, she doesn't have to pay fees for the agency.
Oh, okay. So there you
But go. She also gets crappier jobs.
Right. Okay.
So, as far as I know, they didn't give a distinct end to it, but it hasn't. I don't know that it's had new issues come out recently, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping they come back. Because really, the end of the second volume, it could stay there, but could also, it's one of those things where it could also expand further.
Right, okay.
But it's really good storytelling, and the art is pretty impressive considering what's going on in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you like that kind of thing, I'd recommend Lady Killer.
Well, I just found something really cool. I went to Comixology just because I mentioned Comixology Unlimited, where you can read all these comics for free and stuff. Comixology right now, it's only $6.99 a month, or $5.99 a month normally, but they have a 60-day free trial.
Oh.
So for 2 months, you can get Comixology Unlimited for free. And that, they actually include a lot of Marvel and DC in that subscription.
Huh. Dark Horse and who is it that does Bloodshot?
Valiant.
They should be also, yeah. If you go to Comixology's app on your phone or anything else and you look up any of the books you're looking for, and it says, it'll tell you just like Kindle does with Kindle Unlimited. It'll say free with Unlimited on there if it's a book that's available in Unlimited. Because this is actually Comixology, if anybody didn't know, is actually owned by Amazon. So it runs the same, does it the same way Kindle Unlimited does it.
Right. Yeah. So,
I mean, because that'd be great. I mean, for those of you who left, seeing Bloodshot, you wanted to read more?
Now's the opportunity. Hey, Bloodshot's on demand now. You can download it digitally.
There you go.
Well, I'm looking up Bloodshot right now since I'm on their website. Let me just bring up this one here in the bundles and see if it's available Unlimited.
Speaking of, there are loads of Bloodshot comics out there. Plenty of volumes you can get immersed in if you're at all interested in that world.
Yeah.
And Valiant just has a lot of great stuff in general, too, so...
Let's see.
Another one, if you're not into the hero kind of stuff, I would recommend is Outcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paranormal one. They did have a TV show that I think ended. They never officially said it was canceled, I think.
Right.
It's basically this guy who can sense this evil force that's in other people, and it keeps going from person to person, and it's trying to take over, but trying to defeat him at the same time while he's trying to defeat it, and it's some good spookiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
well written.
Yeah, looking at it, they have Bloodshot Deluxe Edition Volume 1, which looks like it was a trade,
but they're not free.
But they're not free.
Because Bloodshot's popular right now, probably. Yeah.
Although Bloodshot Volume 1 is available Unlimited, and Bloodshot Reborn Volume 1 is available Unlimited.
Yeah. Also, one thing Comixology has that a lot of other ones don't is we don't cover it a lot here, but we have a lot of people that listen that are big into manga. There's a lot of manga on Comixology also that's also available Unlimited.
That's true.
So they cover anything graphic, pretty much.
Right.
So, if it's a story told with pictures, they have it on there. And we love stories told with pictures.
We do.
So
much easier.
Huh?
So much easier to read.
Oh, yeah. And you gotta love a comic book that has a lot of action, like some big giant battle, because it takes like two minutes to read through the whole thing.
Yeah.
You just give it a flip and you're done.
True.
So.
And it's so satisfying to be able to get through a book in an hour or so when you've got a whole trade.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, that was good.
That's true.
And you've got a whole story. That's the other thing about trades, by the way. It's not just that they randomly collect comics. Like this, you know, the Endgame one obviously was a different scenario, but most of them give you a story arc. You
right.
get anywhere from 4 to 6 to 7 issues. And sometimes if you're in the really big ones, you're getting 10 or 12 issues.
You are.
Yeah.
But it's a story arc. So even if you're not horribly familiar with the characters or that world, you can actually jump right in on a later volume. If you happen to pick one up that's, say, volume 3 of something, it's likely it's got enough of a story to it that you can follow it all the way through without even having to go back and try to find volume 1.
That's true.
That's the way they do these trades. So, you know, if it's a character that you think you might be interested in, you don't necessarily have to get the first volume. You can just kind of pick it up as you go. And, yeah. and plus, there's also ones that are kind of arcs that are independent of the ongoing story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of own story. They're usually called miniseries, is what we usually hear them referred to as. Actually, one of the ones I recently finished was called The Life of Captain Marvel. It's a five-parter. And it's a different take on the Captain Marvel origin story, and I'm not very happy with it, so I'm not necessarily recommending it. But it's just an example I'm providing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the cool thing with most of these digital services, if you like something a lot, when you get to the end of that book, they'll suggest certain things that either spun off from this or something that's in the same vein with what you just read.
Mm-hmm. That's
so you
true.
May find something you've never even thought of that fits right in with what you're loving.
Right.
The other thing is, like, if you have something that's like a multi-book thing, like one of the really interesting stories is it's a Daredevil trying to remember which. It was when Daredevil went evil, and he was taken over the Hand.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of it, but Marvel actually, because it runs through several different books, Marvel actually, the Marvel app will put the books in different or in the reading order for you.
Yeah.
So instead of you having to hop around from, say, Daredevil to
Elektra to
Heroes for Hire to Bullseye, it does that for you.
Yeah, that's the bonus of some of these apps. They'll give you all the books in the series that are crossovers, basically, is what we're talking.
Right.
It makes life a little easier. So, you know, just go out and read comics. Just pick something.
Well, not even comics, just books. I found this self-publisher, basically, and I read all four of her books in, like, a week. And it was basically about elementals. It was really, really good. And it was called The Mortal Enchantment. And I really liked them. And I reached out and told her, hey, I really liked your books. And she's got another one getting ready to come in December.
Oh, who is it?
The books are by Stacey O'Neill.
Okay.
It was about, about elementals. And it was a really different take on it. It was really good.
Cool. You got all those on Kindle, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a bundle with all of them in it on Kindle.
Yeah, and that's just it. If you can get books on Kindle, search them on Amazon. You can actually search by price, and you can just search by free. And a lot of indie authors and small publishers will offer like the first volume of a series for free.
Well, that's how I got sucked into this series.
Yeah, it's the drug dealer thing. The first hit's free.
Exactly.
You don't have to own a Kindle tablet. There's Kindle apps you can download on your phone, on other tablets, on your laptop to read electronically. And if you're the type of person who likes to provide reviews, which, by the way, everything you read, you should provide a review anyway, because it will help an author out, even without giving them money. It helps them out to have a review. But if you like to provide reviews, check out netgalley.com, netgalley.com. NetGalley provides free review copies electronically in exchange for a review posted through their site, and you can link to reviews on other sites like Goodreads and Amazon,
right?
Or your own blog. I've used NetGalley for a few years. I've gotten new books through them that are quite popular. I've gotten comics through them. I've gotten ones I've never heard of before, but I'm glad I found. And they have all genres there that you can get for free, just in exchange for leaving a review, and it doesn't matter how long that review is.
Mm-hmm.
Books, absolutely now. Or go to your mountain of to-be-read books.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys. We have hundreds of them.
Yes.
and Kylan and I both have reading goals this year. His is to get through the Jack Reacher books.
How many books are in that?
I have a total of 24, 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Mine is to get through the Dresden File books. I'm on the third one. And the Black Dagger Brotherhood books. And I think I just finished the 11th one. And she keeps going. At least Dresden's finished. She keeps going with these Black Dagger Brotherhood ones. But, you know, choose genre, pick a book, just read it. Just pick up something and read that. Because, like, you have no excuse. Your to-be-read pile is going to hate you for not picking up something off of it while you're stuck in the house.
Oh, that's Shadowland, by the way.
Oh, the Daredevil story.
The Daredevil story is Shadowland. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, when you end up with Luke Cage having to come into your hood because you're making poor decisions, maybe you should pay attention to the intervention before he takes things to the next level. Just saying, Matt.
Yeah, but Matt's not always made the best decisions. We know this.
No, he has not. No, he has not.
Most heroes don't at some point in their story.
I've noticed especially Marvel heroes, they do that a lot, but that's just part of the way the Marvel writes it a lot of times. Yeah. Right. It gives you better drama.
It does.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
So, but I know I'm going to, I finally have, now that we have time, I'm going to sit down and finally finish or read through Marcus Calvert's books.
Nice.
So I've only read the first one. I've not read through the rest yet. I have Murder, Sauce, and Frag Code and all those, but I've not read them yet.
I've read some of them because I edit them for him.
Yes. So
I have no choice but to know what the books are now.
So, and I know Kylan and I are in one of them. I forget which one it is. He based characters on us.
Yeah, so buy Marcus's books and try to find them.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're not there by name.
No, not there by name.
They're there by description.
Yes.
Ken's a Celtic thug, I think.
No, no. I think I know what I am. I'll tell you afterwards. Because that way, hey.
He's told the character names at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what they are, but I won't tell you.
Exactly. I won't say. Which book?
You should make that contest.
I think it's Frag Code, isn't it? The one that we're in?
Frag Code, yes. Yes, so, it's Frag Code.
If you guys look up Marcus Calvert on Kindle, it's probably the easiest way to get his books right now if you don't have them, and read through his books. The third book is Frag Code, and try to find Kylan and I are in there. If you can find out...
You can email me or tweet me or whatever, and if you get it right, we'll send you, I don't know, stickers and stuff.
We'll find something. Yeah. We'll put together a prize package.
We will have a completely sanitized prize pack for your enjoyment.
There you go. Right.
So, anything else you guys have been reading or anything? Anything crazy? How's the game room coming? Have you made any improvements?
Well, we have our games up. I strung the lights up. We had to wait to get extension cord and a new surge protector bar for all of the things we're plugging in.
Yeah.
but aside from that, we're mostly cleaning it up and finding, because we have all of our boxed games and stuff like that are kind of spread out around the house a little bit. Because we didn't really have a single place for them. So now we do. We have this little cabinet in the corner of shelves that we're putting them in. So we're collecting our games from around the house to actually stash them in the corner, all the board games and card games and that kind of thing. So
cool.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
I know. I've been going through our looking through our games to find out which ones are actually good two-player games.
Well, because we're finishing up my studio.
Mm-hmm. We're finishing up her craft studio and her area for making art. Which is also, right. It's like a 4-foot by 4-foot table, square. So we could play board games and card games on it also.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, last night it took me 30-something years to do it. But I beat Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja. So
he's happy about this.
I'm happy about that. And I will say this one is for you, Brandon. Because we tried and we couldn't do it, but I did it, buddy. So this one's for you.
Hey, and I did see that on Facebook how you noticed that Fender's giving away guitar lessons.
Yeah, I saw
that. He is not getting a guitar.
Not buying a guitar.
Kylan, I have a cheap, beat-up acoustic guitar if you want to practice. I have my bass. I got my bass out. I've been working on it a little bit. Geekwatch 1 could be a band.
I told him there is no way we're buying a guitar unless he absolutely promises me he's going to keep working on it and it's not something that he decides he wants to do and then within a couple of weeks it's sitting in a corner gathering dust.
Yeah. I can't promise that because there's a lot of other things I got to be working
especially
on.
Especially when life gets back to so-called normal,
right,
then so. It's just going to be sitting in the corner because you have too much to do.
Well, if you decide you want to try it out for a while, I will be your enabler. Like I said, I have a beat-up acoustic guitar here.
You can use the beat-up guitar.
Yeah.
Although the one part of the somewhat normal going on now, I actually am enjoying half and half days.
Yeah. Having to go in for half a day and then coming home.
At least you're able to get out a bit.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm wondering, once this is all over, how much the office employers and stuff that have all these people at home are going to enjoy this because they can actually save money by keeping it this way.
That's just
You have to have
this
less office space physical.
This makes you realize just how many jobs can be done from home where employers before were saying, oh, no, we can't have you work from home. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, hell yeah.
My last job was pushing for that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because I actually I'm finding myself being more okay with working from home now. Like I've been doing this for 2 weeks now. By the time I got to week two, I'm like, okay, I could do this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See. Before I started working where I'm currently working, I worked from home for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I had this, you know, already in the bag and I knew my schedule and how to work it and how things would work for me. So coming back and having to do this now is not as big a deal for me, but I know there's a lot of people like Kylan and that having to get used to this and realize that, you know, having to have a setup, having to have a schedule, you know, all that. I don't know. I'd be fine if this became permanent. Mm-hmm.
Well, the hardest part for us has been with Vicky working half a day. We only have the one car, so she's going taking drop me off at work and going to work, and then she's having to actually pick me up when she comes home. And I have to drop her off at home and go back to work.
Right.
Because usually I would either walk home because I'm only a couple blocks away, or a coworker would give me a ride home. But at this point, I'm not getting a ride from anybody.
Right.
So the hardest part is actually just stopping in the middle of the day to give her a ride home and come back.
But good thing we're like 5 minutes away.
Yeah, like I said, we're only a couple blocks away, so it's not that bad.
Well, hey, and with the weather improving, you can do that walk instead.
Exactly. If I wanted to, yeah.
You got your bike.
Or, yeah, I can get my bicycle back out.
See?
So. But, yeah, everybody's still getting used to the new normal.
Yep. And the thing is, once all of this passes, because it will, I know there's anxiety and stuff, but it will pass eventually. It will. Mm-hmm. We just don't know when. But when it does, there's going to be another new normal because you have everyone getting used to doing things this way now,
right?
Whether they're working from home or just staying in the house or whatever they're having to do. Then we're all going to have to go back to work, go back to using public transit, go back to doing whatever we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to seem strange at that point. Like, everyone's going to need at least another week or two to get used to it again.
Yeah. Right.
Although the biggest thing my female coworkers keep saying is, I don't have to do my hair. I don't have to do my makeup. And the funny thing is when we did the live chat meeting at work, the woman was still in her PJs.
Yep.
She had her fuzzy pink robe on.
Oh, I've had, like, no product in my hair for a couple of weeks, and I think my hair loves it. Like, it just...
Yeah.
That's what my boss was saying.
Think about. And I was thinking about... So, like, if you look at the whole of history... There's been moments like this, right? And after those moments, like, civilization makes a quantum leap forward. It's sort of like the Black Plague happened, and then we got the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Spanish flu happened, you know, that, and then you end up with the Roaring Twenties and all those...
That's true.
And all those advances that came out of that. That's probably the one thing that I think we tend to forget. Like, we're so in the moment right now. Mm-hmm. But there's other things that's going on that once we're behind this, we're going to come out of this stronger and better for it. So, well,
people are learning a lot of new skills that they didn't realize they were interested in before.
Exactly.
So you've got a whole different set of people coming out of this. And not just artistic skills, but practical skills that people are learning online now and all that kind of stuff that they wouldn't have thought of doing before because they never had time.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the other thing is people are starting to see now, because we saw for the last several years, though, why do we need libraries? Why do we need public television? People are now seeing the benefit and the value of libraries, of public television,
of the arts.
And
that's the one thing where they always want to take the money away year after year, and now is the time where everyone's leaning on the arts more than ever.
Yes.
And it's like, hello, don't take money away next time.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are now finally working on that book that they talked about writing? How many people are taking up an instrument? How many people are
learning some art from all the things that are online now.
Exactly.
Yeah, how many people are finally sitting down to start their garden?
Exactly, right now, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot, there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of this. It's easy to get caught up in all the bad that's going on.
Well, because you can't help it, because we're living it.
Right. But just know that it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just
You're allowed to occasionally break down. Like, everyone's going to be there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to realize what's going on and think they can't handle it, etc. You can handle it. You're going to make it through because we are literally all in this together. Like,
yes,
no one has a choice right now. Globally speaking, we're in it.
We are.
We're living history. This is something you get to tell your kids and grandkids about, and your kids get to tell their grandkids about.
Yes.
And think about this. You mentioned the Spanish flu was the only thing that's been close to this in recent history.
Right.
And this is the first time we've actually been able to see and actually see minute to minute what is happening in the rest of the world. When that was happening originally, people knew it was happening in their neighborhood. They didn't, I mean, they may have been told it was happening elsewhere, but you could not see it on an actual global scale.
Right.
The way the world is built right now, we know what's happening everywhere. So we can see where China is starting to slowly come out of this already. And you can see, okay, that means there will be a light at the end of the tunnel for us. We just have to wait till it gets there.
And that, and that's the thing with the internet, with global coverage, it's both the good and the bad, because some people see this and think, holy crap, this is the world and I can't handle it. And other people see this and go, okay, this is happening. This is going to be like this. This country's faced it. We're getting through it, blah, blah, blah. So some people like all the knowledge and other people don't. And quite honestly, if you don't, if it's getting to you, step away from it.
Yeah.
Because honestly, things aren't going to change for the moment. And if it's bothering you to find out with all the news that's out there, if it's bothering you to hear about it, then just step away.
Yeah.
Just get away from TV, turn on Disney Plus, turn on Netflix, turn on all that. Get your books, your comics.
Have a dance break.
Yeah, have a dance break. Step away from the news. Don't look at it.
I had a fun idea with Vicky. Is like, get together or talk to your neighbors and have a neighborhood block picnic where everybody has a picnic in their own backyard, but you're still doing it together just in your own backyard.
I don't want to know my neighbors, but
well,
that's for some people.
I'm saying you could still do a group picnic. It's just make sure everybody's in their own yard.
That's true. Or just do it on your front lawn. Like, you can have conversations with your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Just have a couple driveways between you. It's not a big deal.
True.
So it's like, you can still have a large group gathering. Just make sure you got space.
Exactly. It's isolation, but it's also doesn't mean that you have to completely become a hermit and not talk to people. And talk to people online. If your friends, if you have friends living across the country or across the world, get on Skype with them. Arrange to have a party online. Have drinks.
Yes.
If you want to have a, if you want to get slosh drunk with your friends, get them all on Skype and start drinking. Like, I don't care at this point. If that's what you need to be happy, do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because we got one set of neighbors on one side we really like, but we got to stay far away from them right now. She's heavily, she's heavily pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And the other side of us, it's the crazy cat lady, so. Cassie begs the stray cats to try to play with her.
Oh,
and then
no.
She can't understand why they don't want to play with her.
So
do what you can to stay connected to people. That's really the important part. And that'll help alleviate a lot of the anxiety, because everyone's feeling it, whether it's big or small. Everyone's feeling it to some degree.
Exactly.
I know. I've been enjoying a lot of our friends' videos they've been posting.
Yeah.
Benji's been doing a cooking show, and that's been a blast. I know Kim Kennedy's been doing, like, her painting videos.
Past weekend, there's been a 48-hour streaming concert on Facebook. Our buddy Mike McFarland was part of it on Saturday. Kylan and I both watched his performance at noon on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, Sean Benjamin, who people have seen at Odd Mall, is on it. Loads of every artist gets an hour. It's 48 hours. That's a hell of a lot of music.
Yes.
All kinds of different. And there's other concerts going on too, both streaming for hours at a time and individually.
And not just little indie artists. A lot of these are the big name actually recording artists also.
Oh yeah, that's true. There are some big name artists. I've shared videos I found from Bare Naked Ladies. They created a video singing Lovers in a Dangerous Time, but from each of their homes, and combine it into a single video.
Mm-hmm.
You can see all four screens.
Mm-hmm.
I this morning I just shared Rick Springfield performing a new version of Human Touch, where he changed all the lyrics to make it isolation appropriate, where we don't need the human touch. So there's a lot of artists. Neil Diamond changed Sweet Caroline because everyone was making fun of the whole hands, touching hands in the course.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of artists who are even just creating awesome new versions of their songs to be COVID appropriate. And just performing in general. Just look people up on Facebook, on anywhere, on YouTube, whatever, and just enjoy yourself for a bit. Try to be zen about it and zone out and just enjoy something and not get stressed, because the body can't handle that even, you know?
No.
You don't want your...
I know REM's It's the End of the World has been doing really well.
Yeah, I think that's kind of pathetic, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
So, but, guys, what are you doing to deal with being locked at home or not being able to be around people? We told you what we were doing.
But I got another question.
Okay.
Do your dogs eat in their sleep?
They like moving their mouths and stuff?
Yeah, like they're eating.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
Cassie's on my lap, and I have a wet spot on my pants now.
They move their mouths, or they start licking while they're sleeping. Yeah, mm-hmm. They've done it.
It's weird. Anybody who didn't think dogs sleep, just sit there and watch dogs dream. Watch them when they're sleeping. Because they run, yeah. They play, they do all this stuff, and they're out cold still.
Ours will start barking in the middle of a sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie's growled in her sleep.
Yep.
So wait. It's like, no, dog's dream.
Oh, yeah, she's sitting here.
I'm fucked now.
There you go. Do it.
Watch your dogs.
That's right. Well, like I said,
or adopt. Adopt. Yeah. Get a cuddle buddy for the quarantine.
Still open, and they're looking for people to adopt, or even foster. If you don't think you want it permanent, now's the time to foster a dog for someone else to adopt.
There you go. You can do that, too.
So, but Geeksters, how are you dealing with this? Are you hanging out with your pets? Are you playing video games? Are you watching TV? What are you reading? Let us know. We want to know what's going on in the rest of the world other than what we're doing. You can get a hold of us at www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media, it's GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar and don't find us, Miss Dawn will take care of that problem.
I will, but it'll be virtually.
That's right. You can email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We're proud members of the Tangent Bound and Weeby Geeks Networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. And like I said, let us know what you're doing. We want to talk to you guys, too. Not just listen to us. I mean, we know you guys are listening. Talk to us.
We see numbers.
Huh?
We see numbers.
That's right. So, but for that, for Dawn and Kylan and Vicky, myself, just remember,
no matter where you go,